This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
You know that you can go to the bottom of your dial and tune in Motormouth Radio, where you will find two other Santa Clauses, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, at your service here on Long Island's only automotive talk show. Chris?
How are you, my brother? And if you come from my neighborhood, you should, instead of saying ho, 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 you should say yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, I tell you, good job on the sleigh bells there. I like that. You did very well today. That was excellent. You've been practicing.
Thank you. Yes. I didn't have to use my hands either.
Oh, that's very good. Yes.
Ooh, are you listening?
Very cool.
They're ringing. Are you listening?
Yeah, man.
So, yes, this is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show, because that's what we do. We talk about automotive stuff.
We do.
Automotive stuff is what we talk about. Got a classic good show today, the pre-Christmas extravaganza, if you want to call it that.
And tell everybody why today will be so special.
Well, right now we have Luke Tucker from Easy Red will be joining us later on in the hour. And, right, of course, a regular, the staple of this fine, upstanding program and the show that puts me to sleep every Thursday night.
Right. We talked about that on Thursday night.
Playing in traffic, Macoman Brian. Hey, Macoman!
Right. These gentlemen will be on with us in a little bit, a few minutes. We'll open the show, and we're going to talk tools and things like that, because, of course, Easy Red makes some great lighting accessories and other tool things that that help out the mechanics. Yeah, there you go.
I'm wearing mine now.
Hell yeah. And I want to tell you, I was overloaded with tool stuff from our other buddies and car stuff yesterday, because I was invited as typically to go down to the Christmas party celebration at the UD. So I got to hang with Dougie and Johnny and the boys, and met a guy named Dan. You're going to love this. Okay. Dan does body work. He's a very, very talented body man, as I found. And when I mentioned, you know, a Nomad, he says, really? You want to sell it? Yes, girl.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
You're going to sell the ashtray.
Not only did he want it, after I showed him the pictures of it, he still wanted it.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that?
Wow. Every minute there's one born.
I tell you. So, yeah, so we had a great time. We had food, fun, laughter, some drinks. And
that's good.
You know, stayed.
Not to take anything away from that Nomad, just as a side note, the car is a great canvas. That's the way I look at some of those vehicles. It's a great canvas to apply any sort of ideas or whatever you want to do with it, because that's what it's. You don't have to take anything apart. It's all apart already.
And you can even,
so
yeah.
It's, It's just a matter of rebuilding it.
And at times it's had canvas on top of it. So that's,
yes. Yeah, so there are some good things and canvases can cost a lot of money.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So I hope you guys work out a nice, amiable deal.
Right, right.
And watch that thing go away.
So the other guy that knows something about tents is Matt Gourmand Brian, who is with us today.
What's up, my brother? How are you? He's getting ready. What is he? I don't know what he's doing.
He may not hear us, but he's there. So
yes, I could see him.
Okay,
we could send him signals.
Right, right.
Hand signals. Well, hopefully he'll jump in. Oh wait, I see the earplugs are going in. Isn't this nice the way live radio works with this sharing the technology with the people that are kind of quasi technological? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So is he in? Is he on? Can you hear us, Brian?
He's still working on it.
This is your father, Brian. No, there he is. No, he's not getting anything.
Okay.
Hit your unmute button. Yes. His unmutables.
The unmutables, yeah. Yeah. Well, so, Dan was showing me a picture of this car he's working on. It's a 40 Ford. And what he did was he took 18 inches out of the back of this thing to kind of shorten it, but kept the windows. And it is really cool looking. And he grafted 60 Corvette taillights into those rear fenders. I mean, craftsmanship at its highest.
You mean he took away material instead of adding material?
They all kind of long in the back. They do have that longish back. And he shortened it up more like a Willys. You know, and it is really cool looking. Yeah.
I would love to see a picture of that. I'd love to see the car.
That's out of my skill set. I mean, we were looking at a 4-door wagon that was there at the shop and he asked Doug, he said, "Hey, you want me to take 2 doors out of that thing for you?" And he said, "Yeah, listen, you just get a set of doors for a 2-door." He goes, "And I can make that happen." Now, guys who do that amaze me. You know, because there's a lot of compound bends and all sorts of stuff that's going on. But
well, not only that, but we're talking about structural rigidity as well. I mean, you have to take that into consideration. You can't just lop off 2 doors and call it a day.
Hopefully you make it maybe more rigid because you make those panels where the doors were solid. They don't open anymore. Right. So, you know, Brian, can you hear us now? Are you?
I'm up and Adam, if you can hear me.
Okay. Yes.
Hey,
we got you.
We got you.
Guys.
How are you?
This is good for me because I get to see Brian actually on a better camera. It's clearer here than it is. And I may look – well, no, you would look better to me. I wouldn't look better to you. Well, actually, I should look better to you because I'm on a better camera too. But I see the same background that I see every Thursday for like 4 hours because we stay late. But Brian's seeing me in a different venue.
I was going to say, Brian's background is actually neater.
Well, no, I have
stuff
the Motor Mouth
stacked.
I have the Motor Mouth Radio banner behind me all the time, so it's
the
blocking maneuver, if you will. You know,
and Brian doesn't get to see me at all,
right?
No,
that's
other than the picture that Ray paints. You passed out on the bed with your phone,
right? Yeah. Exactly.
I'm telling you, Brian, it was hysterical because I'm listening to the show and I'm just sitting there, my eyes closed. I'm just listening to the show on my phone because I get it on Facebook Live. And I'm just sitting there, next thing I know, my wife is coming and she's pulling the phone out of my hands because I'm out cold.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, I have that tendency to put people to sleep sometimes, but.
So it has been my insomnia medication has been the show.
Well, hey, it works.
Totally.
And here we go. We've got Luke. Luke, can you hear us? I see you. I don't know if you can hear us.
Yes. Luke is connecting to audio as we can read on the Zoom dashboard. Okay. Wait, there he is. Luke, are you with us?
Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Hey,
excellent.
Luke Tucker from Easy Red.
Good to
How
see
are you?
You?
Good. What's happening, guys?
I'm wearing them. I got them on.
Looking good, man.
Well, let me put this.
Never come off.
Let me put this out there and say that now we have the unique position this week of letting the audience be able to interact with the guests. So if you want to call and talk with Brian or Luke. Or God forbid, me or Chris, you know, because not many people want to do that. You can give us a call at 516-572-7440 and ask the tool guys a question. You got both ends now. You got the distribution end and we have the on the street man, you know, man on the other side of the counter kind of thing
Although, and if you want to know anything about how to use your Easy Red light, boy, I can give you all kinds of positions and places where I've had this light where it has saved my bacon, that's for sure.
Let me ask you guys, the neck light that Chris is talking about, I've been using mine and I love it. I actually have a Matco branded one and I have an Easy Red branded one. And for under day, I can't even tell you the amount of times this thing is good for housework, for everything. How long have they actually been in existence? I don't know if I missed the boat and just was a little late on them, or if we were on the cusp with this. But so how?
Oh, Ray, it's been designing it took about 5 years. I think we launched them in 2019.
Okay, good. So it is current. Good. Okay.
Yeah, that's current to us.
Yes. No, that's current to where I've got mine too. Sure. Okay.
And Luke, I have to laugh. This thing is so comfortable. I've actually put on my jacket, walked out, and gone to the store.
Yeah.
And the reason why, I was in Home Depot one time, and a guy actually stopped me. He says, "Where'd you get that?" And I'm like, looking at him, I'm like, "What are you talking about? Where'd I get what?" He's like, "The thing around your neck, the lights are right." I said, oh.
And by the way, your shirt's so glowing because they're on.
right. I went to take my shirt off, and it, like a spring, it flung off my neck and zipped across the bathroom.
Wow.
I did the same thing. I had it on my hat, and I took my hat off, and they went flying. It's so comfortable, you don't even know you have it on.
You know, we've designed a bunch of products, had some good A items. We've had some ones that weren't so hot, but this just hits everybody's sweet spot. You know, I mean, one, it's a light. And I mean, Matco, man, how many lights are you selling?
I can't keep them on the truck.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a light, and it's the coolest light. It's the coolest light in the world. It really is. And
I have to laugh because I have.
And now there's a green version too, which I thought the light was camo, but it's not. But it's
so the green version's neat because it's for your outdoor guys. We actually have the Realtree license, so we designed one for Realtree.
Okay.
Now, that's unique to the outdoorsman, as if you hit that button twice, it comes up with a red light where you can just kind of see where you're going. You're not, nobody else can see where you are, the deer or whatever have you. It's your light.
I'm glad you said that, because I was playing with the flashlight and it said, it had a red beam and I made it come on, and my wife was like, "Well, why would you want that?" And I said to her, "The only thing I could think is like stealth operations." I said, like,
yeah.
"When I break into the house, I just need that small." it's like, or when I'm hunting Carlos, the local terrorist who broke into my house, and I don't want the big bright light. Okay, I'm glad
it's
you clarified
glare-free.
That.
It's you could see where you're going, but there's no glare.
We use it deer hunting here because when you got to get to your stand in the morning, some of the deer can be around the woods. If you've got a big light showing, they can see that glare and glare. You just get this, and it's nice. I mean, it doesn't help that 270 pounds of me is walking through the woods, and you can hear every stick I break.
Crunch.
Right. Yeah, at least they can't see me.
Right.
Don't worry, Luke. They think it's Bigfoot, so you fit.
Right.
Don't worry.
Oh, it's just another black bear, right, Brian?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe she wear like a grizzly costume, and they'll just think you're a bear walking upright with the Egg McMuffin, and
I'll
the coffee.
I'll try that, right?
That's why not, right? But no, the conglomerate, the marriage with Realtree is nice because that's a great company, and all the stuff. You have this, you have the smaller lights, which are great. The tactical lights, these are fantastic.
Yeah, I just thought it's close to the holidays, so I wanted to show some stuff. I mean, you can get all this, all the products we have. You can get off your tool truck.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have access to a tool truck, you can go on an Amazon store. You could probably go to your local, pretty much anywhere you can get tools, you can get our products.
Yeah.
But we have an Amazon store. It's easy. If you can't get to the tool truck, we suggest you go there.
Okay.
Now, those gifts are tough for, like, the uncles and the brother-in-laws and somebody. You get him a little Realtree pen light, he's going to like it, So, and the neck light, they're affordable, and it's just...
Now.
It's a last-minute thing that's really going
to
work.
You brought this up, and I was going to bring it up. I have to ask you this. This is the coolest thing. I'm the only guy who takes stuff apart as soon as I get it. Let me see if these guys can see this. Look at the batteries that are in the pen light.
A AAA?
Yeah, but can you see the name on the battery? It says Easy Red.
They're Easy Red.
Oh
my gosh.
How did you do that?
I guess if you make enough of something, you can put your name on it, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, you're not making batteries though, right? I mean, are you?
I mean, we have we have a battery factory, make our batteries to go in these lights.
Oh, okay. Because I did tell my wife that. I said, you know, when you buy a VCR, oh, VCR, Christ. Sure, roll the tape back.
VCR. Look at you.
All right. No, I can't even say a DVD player. You buy a piece
even
of electronics.
Even that is obsolete.
You buy a TV. It comes with a remote. And sometimes there's Samsung batteries or LG batteries. They have branded batteries. And I figured, okay, well, they have the buying power worldwide to do that. But when I saw that on Easy, I said, that's cool. I said, and I wonder, probably a lot of people are never going to see that till they have to change them. Like I said, I take stuff apart as soon as I get it. So, you know, I noticed it right away. And I think that's excellent. Nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah, that Realtree is a catchy brand, and it's our product, our design with that name. And like I said, if you're looking to buy a gift for anybody, somebody that, you know, it's hard to buy for, there's some cool stuff that we got with that Realtree brand that they'll know. They might not necessarily know the Easy Red brand, but
right.
Realtree is pretty popular.
You see that? Yeah, I knew Easy Red before I knew Realtree. And, you know, another product, I guess, that you just rebranded are these guys. Chris, this is coming your way. These are the little parts. The
magnetic trays.
Parts trays.
Yeah, it's a whole cute little stuff.
So, yeah, they've been fun. They've been fun, and anybody can use them, you know, organizing this and that. And those are cool. Everybody likes the way they fold down neat and they collapse and then they spring out.
Right.
You know, a magnetic aside, yeah. Luke, I was actually working on a radio this week, and I had to pull the front plate off it to change some of the buttons on the radio because the radio I had, the buttons were all worn out. So I found another radio that had good buttons. And I took the tray off, and I laid it down on the tool bench. And, of course, the edge of it was just off the tool bench. And I went to go bend down to pick up something, and you hear, and that was it. That was it. Buttons everywhere.
Well, Chris,
all kinds of. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Chris, when you get a hold of this, which you will, these things are collapsible, so they close down.
Fantastic.
You can even put them on an angle if you want. You can make angles. Yeah, I use them for coasters, whatever you want to do. Yeah, you just, put soap in it.
It's literally. I had the Easy Red light on, and I'm on the floor, hands and knees, picking up little buttons and all kinds of little screws and things. And I'm like, oh, right. You dirty old way I order if I had a rock.
Exactly.
So I was using the light.
Brian, how many shops do you go into when the guys, where do they usually wear the lights?
Everywhere.
Is it like what part of their body?
Usually it's on top of the head.
Yeah.
And that's what I wear. Yeah.
Way. I do have a few guys that will wear them around the neck. But again, some of the guys are pretty thick. And, but like I said, they wear it. And I know that you make lights for other guys or other companies. And we get kind of into the different brands or different styles. And with ours, you know, we don't have the battery pack on the back. So that's why a lot of guys like to wear it up there because it's not interfering if they're laying underneath the car or anything like that. So it's a very good light. And actually, I was going to say last week, I probably sold 8 or 9 lights, various ones, a few neck and along with the small pocket ones for people that want to walk their dogs at night.
Oh,
they
good idea.
Carry a big flashlight. They want something rechargeable. I had a couple of owners say, you know, their wife likes the light because it's not big, it's not bulky, it's bright.
Comfortable, yeah.
Technology's there.
And they're actually dimmable, which is nice. You can dim those lights. Chris, did you know that? That's actually, you don't have to go on full force.
I did not know that they were dimmable.
Turn them on, push and hold the button, and it'll dim.
Yeah.
If I could
only change one thing, I would go from light to bright. Because a lot of guys don't understand that, and they'll click it on the first time, and it's the sun coming out.
Right.
And they're like, I wish this thing would dim down. And I'm like, well, all you got to do is hold the button again. But I understand a lot of that's in delivery and understanding how it works. But
Is, Brian.
If you worked from bottom up, I think it would be.
So if it went into like whatever the lower light, the lumen output is, if it went to that first and the second click was high beam, like low beam, high beam.
Right. Start out at 50 and go all the way to 300.
But, you know, guys, of course.
Well, we are designing generation 2 as we speak. So that's a good that's something good to bring up.
Of course, when guys open it, they take whatever's in there instructional-wise, and that gets tossed. So no one ever reads anything.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Exactly. Yeah, right, right.
And? Yeah. What's your point, Ray?
Well, the point is you've had that light for how long? You didn't know that it was dimmable. Duh.
No, I didn't. I didn't
the
know
other
it was
thing, The other thing I want to mention is that light is made two ways. It's made with a USB charging port, and they're made that they'll take batteries. You can put actual double A's that go in there. So that's nice.
It's half the price if it's the double A, and you're not charging it, recharging it.
Okay.
So you save a little money, but it's all about the consumer. Like, how often am I going to use this?
Right.
Is really the question. So.
Yeah, and the funny thing is it has solved so many problems. It's like you said, Brian, just walking the dog. I was walking from one house to another on a dark street here in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, I heard this hawk that must have been like 6 feet from me, and I didn't see him, but he flew away, and I certainly heard the thump, 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 and like you felt the air hit you in the face as he's flying away, and I'm like, I better bring that light with me the next time I take
You better
a
bring
walk.
A shotgun with you next time.
Yeah. Out here, you never know what's going to meet you up in the middle of the street.
Yikes.
But yeah, it's the truth.
I know. A lot of people use the light for their dogs. It's funny when they come up to you and say, I don't know if they said it to you, Brian, but every time my dog uses the bathroom, I think of you. I don't know how great that is, but
that's it. Hey, you know what?
Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, like I said, because we have to clean up afterwards, it is nice that you have a light where you're looking. And that's one thing about the neck light, especially. Even some of the old school headlights or whatever that we have, but wherever you're looking, that's where the light is. And that's why people forget that they have it on.
Right.
And I always think it's funny at my dealerships, you see them running around in the, out front and getting parts, and they all have the lights on. They all run 24/7 almost. But like I said, super great product. Along with a handful, like I said, last time we talked, I was just trying to think of the top five things I sell, and my list was literally 50 items. So, wow. I mean, it's a good, stable part of the business.
That's great.
So it's awesome.
You know,
I'll be seeing you out in Las Vegas, right, Brad?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good. We'll have to get together.
Not a problem. Can't wait. Awesome.
The only thing I'll throw in where we're talking about, I was going to ask you, Luke, about product development. Do you get things that, like I know with Lyle, Eddie Lyle, they have a program where you can pitch. And I did. I pitched a tool idea to them, and they very, very politely rejected it. So it was okay.
We're not as in-depth. They're very specialized. Lyle's got a...
Oh, they're all over. Yeah.
They're big. They can get in-depth with things. That's not our game.
Right, right.
But yeah, we do. We have... I think half a dozen folks on a payroll that have had ideas, pitched us ideas.
Okay.
And, actually they've got their own patent and drawings, and they came to us. We manufacture it and distribute it.
Okay. I have an idea I want to throw out to you. It's basically just borrowing it from someone else. But before the new crop of lights took over, Harbor Freight sells a light. It's an aluminum body with a flat. I should have brought it with me. And it angles. And, I don't know how many lumens it is. I don't really. It's pretty bright. But the thing about that light that I love, and other guys love too, is it has an edge light on it. So it's a very small, just the edge of that little rectangle, and you can get that down. I've gotten it up into axles and into engines, and it just is a very, small beam right where you want it. So if I think if you can incorporate that into any, if it works with any of your other products...
Ryan's looking for an RWL 1000.
Is that what it is?
I am.
I don't know what the part number is, but
I'm not in the tow truck, unfortunately.
I'll give you another number. I'll say 516-572-7440. You can call and talk with these guys about the RLW 9000, whatever the heck he said. I don't know what Luke is. He's talking pops and clicks.
What is an RLW 9000? What is
that? It's an RWL 1000. It's a really awesome light that Matco has. It's all aluminum, but it's thin, and at the end it's got two lights
Okay.
So you can get into tight spots.
There you go.
It's a great work light.
That's on. Now, if you ask Brian about it, like a Mustang manifold or like a shifter, he'll have it over there because I've seen his stash firsthand, so I know he's got some cool
wait
stuff.
A minute. Brian is like you, Ray, where you're sitting on a Zoom call and someone mentions some arbitrary part that you have sitting within reach.
I give Ray a pretty good run for it.
He does. He
wow.
does. But I'll tell you what, like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the hood scoops that were on the Z28s. Terry Wilson really liked that. You know, they're like the 70 series Z28s, that long hood. I said, wait a minute. I got up and right in the room next door, I came back with that hood scoop. It's like a surfboard, but I'm sitting right there.
Why am I not surprised? Brian, Ray used to do that when we were both in the studio together. Ray would come in with parts at times and sometimes even information out of what I used to call the world's most dangerous notebook.
Right.
Which was his notes in before the advent of technology when we were doing the show in the Stone Age. Yeah. The world's most dangerous notebook.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because I thought about the same thing. I said, man, I go out and grab some lights or whatever. And, battery testers and cleaners and so forth. But I'll be honest, I've had a pretty good run. And unfortunately with the supply chain network problems, just waiting for stuff, things are a little slow moving in and getting stuff. We do get it eventually, but, I didn't realize I was going to have too much of a show and tell.
Right.
We just have to go,
it's memory. Been a struggle
know the tool trucks have been having trouble and so have we. Chassis John couldn't get a 4 9-inch gasket the other day, but Lucas, it affected you on the on the manufacturing and distribution end.
It's changed our game completely because lead times from factories and getting products, because we do some injection molding, so getting virgin plastic in, we could order it and it'd be here in a week. Now it's maybe 3 months if they have it, and everything's changed. Your whole make sure you have enough at all times to make some. Now it's like we don't know when we're going to get something.
Right.
We had a lead time from some of our hand tools in Taiwan that were 90 days from date to order. Now it's 8 months.
I probably shouldn't even bring this up because I don't have really enough information. I caught it this morning on Fox. There's apparently a bunch of steel sitting somewhere that the government had purchased, and it's tons of steel. I guess it was I think it was American steel, and the question was, well, why can't that be used? Like they're going to excess it, and why can't that be used for things we need here instead of waiting for foreign steel that's sitting off, the port of Los Angeles? And they said, well, and the government had an answer that said, well, it wasn't allocated for that, so we can't do it. Like, you could do whatever the hell you want, guys. Come on. I mean, this is your country, So that story may emerge. You may see more about that. I'm sure Brian will hear more about it on Thursday night next week. But if it's still a live story, because we kind of get into that stuff. But, things like that. Just the stupidity that surrounds the supply chain is what – it's enough to make you batty. Well, more batty in our case.
But now, Luke, what do? You actually now look to storing more stuff, like warehousing more things in order to meet demand? How do you acclimate?
You want to make sure you have an abundance of your moving items so you don't run out of them. I mean, you're going to run out of stuff. That's the nature of it. But you don't want it to be the A items. You don't want it to be your 80%.
Right.
You want to try to have them in stock so you over-order.
Right.
Still tight because these lead times are just horrible. I mean, they say they can't get steel overseas, and when they do, and then there's a shortage of containers where it used to cost us, $1,000 to get a container over here in general costs. Now it's $8,500 to get the same container. So prices are going up.
Wow.
Commodities are going up. You can't get stuff. It's like a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think we've given our third price increase and just passing along price increases in the last 7 months.
Right.
Your number doesn't change. It's just everyone else's number gets incredibly higher, incrementally higher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you put 5,000 things on a container, and it used to cost you $1,000. Now it costs you $8,000. It's just
all right.
That's across the board.
I just got the message from my home base here. I found out it's because someone's watching TV. It's steel that Trump had bought for the border wall. So now we're really. And it's paid for, and Biden won't let Texas use it to finish the wall. That's what it is, and I guess they won't use it for something else. So,
goodness gracious.
Yeah. So, okay, on that note, that I think that's as far as we want to go with that, because, again, we need to save that for Thursday night, because we have our own pundit who takes the lead on that stuff. And
without politics, we wouldn't have anything to complain about.
That's
for sure.
Everything would be smooth.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, what else is smooth is the bottom of the hour here on Motor Mouth Radio, where we do a couple of special things, one of which is Chris's honor group of the hour. Do you have one today, Chris?
Yes, we do. We always like to honor a certain group of automotive enthusiasts every hour to have them point to themselves and go, yep, that's me. Well, that's what this is, the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And this week, we tip our hat to those adventurous individuals that test if their cigarette lighter is working by sticking their finger in it. That's right. Since we've all stopped smoking, we don't really have much use for a cigarette lighter in the car. So we usually pop it out, toss it aside, make room for some kind of mobile technology that requires power from a lighter receptacle, maybe a light. I don't know. So every once in a while, it's good to check if the cigarette lighter still works. You plug it in. It simply pops out too soon. So you take it out, see if the element is glowing. It's not glowing orange as it should. So what do? Of course you do it. You put your finger in it.
Well, don't do it like Chris. Yeah, don't test it with your tongue.
So hold up that index finger proudly and show off the circular scar, because if you do, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Excellent.
There you go.
And I'll tell you what.
Like 9-volt batteries.
There you go. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Put your tongue on those. Yes.
And something else you can do while you're not dressing the burns is Sunday nights tonight at 10, you can listen to Frontiers, which is a show that plays a variety of musical styles and spotlighted in the weekly program. From blues to bluegrass, British to Celtic tradition, country to acoustic folk rock, host Joe Whalen plays the music and brings you the artist interviews. So we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, fellas, and we'll be back with more rousing talk. So gear it up. People can call 516-572-7440. We're going to take our quick break and listen now. This is we got to choreograph this. I have this all figured out. Luke, you have the sleigh bells, so you're going to do those. Brian, you're going to do the ho-ho-hos because you have that deep baritone voice. Chris, you test the lighter with your tongue. And and we will be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. In a crew, we'll take a short break, and we'll be back on 90.3 WHBC. Here we go.
Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Tattoos and big butts and dumps.
You might learn a lot of things on this show. I don't know if it's what you want to learn or not, but you may learn how to play a sleigh bell or play some power chords here with Matt Goldman, Brian, Luke Tucker from Easy Red, Ray Guarino, and Chris Switzer. We are back with more Motor Mouth Radio after that interesting break we've had. So, fellas, all right, what's going to illuminate the next segment of this show?
I'm just looking at this battery cable kit.
Uh-huh.
Luke, what is... Literally, what please explain it.
Well, Ryan,
I'm looking at this on your site. Mind you, it's a great site, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
EasyBird site is really well laid out.
That's the B1218.
Is there a number? Let me look. Hold on. Let me click on it. It's the BCK, 18.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it. So you can build any battery terminal cable with this? This is interesting. I'm loving it.
Cool. Usually you have, the big cutters and the you got to take the battery out of the car, set it down, operate on it, change the cables, put it back in. What we have is our B7946 and our B1218 in this kit. So you take a 3/8 ratchet and you put it on that cable cutter and you bring it down. You don't have to take the battery up. You put it down and then you take another 3/8 and you can cut the cable. It's like a
guillotine.
It's like a guillotine, exactly. So you cut the cable.
Wow. Yeah, I see that.
Cool. And then you got the stripper in there and you strip the wire, pull it out. So now you can you put your clamp on or your lug and you got your portable put the 3/8 onto that crimper, put it down and you use an impact and you take the crimper, you can use that impact to crimp and it makes a nice triangle crimp.
Wow.
It saves time. It's not terribly expensive. It's not big and bulky. It comes in a little case and you can do everything while the battery's still in the vehicle. So it's, and it makes a nice crimp.
Wow. So Brian, why didn't you sell me one of those? I know I got the Matco battery cable stripper because, I occasionally make battery cables and I have a big pneumatic crimper. But, that's the thing. You're never happy with just one. You want to have a few tools that do the same thing. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It really is. This is really an interesting layout. And it was intriguing because I'm like, first question was why, and then my next question was why not? This is really cool.
Yeah, and our base is battery related products. Like I said before, my grandfather started the company designing our own Easy Red hydrometer, the battery hydrometer.
Right.
The sales pitch was it's easy to read, so that was the namesake of the company. And he came in with load testers and just different battery related items. We still have the injection molders out here that make the terminal cleaners and the hydrometers. So that's our base, and we've expanded into lighting and specialty tools. And what we've got coming around next year, we were hoping to get it before the holidays, but we've really, with our industrial design team and our guys that come up with the products, Easy Red's going to take over the organizational market, like product toolbox organization. That's what we're going for. We've really got a handful of items that are super revolutionary with magnets and different types of plastic that can move and bend and ship around stuff. It's just, I'm excited. I wish I could tease it a little more, okay. But hopefully I get to call here when they come out and show you.
Absolutely. In fact, when that's out, get in touch with me and we'll schedule you in. Because I know now a lot of the tool companies, Brian, like Matco stuff and the other companies are selling the foam inserts that the wrenches and stuff go in. That's nice. It looks nice in a toolbox. I'm not used to doing that. I'm a wrench rail kind of guy. And then there's the porcupine holders for the sockets, which I didn't like at first. And then my buddy at the shop set all his sockets up on that. And occasionally when I had to go into his box, I was like, oh, this is nice. You just take it off. You put it back. I unfortunately don't have a box that has deep enough drawers to take advantage of that. But, yeah, that's tool organization is a good thing because I know a lot of guys, like my co-host, really
could use some. That's actually a really huge thing right now is organizational on the toolbox. And I've shot myself in the foot a few times about somebody says, oh, I need a bigger box. And I'm like, well, let's take a look here. And, like I said, if it's organized and has a place, A, you don't lose it. Two, you realize how much room you really can use. And the biggest problem, and you probably know this, Luke, is finding something easy and adaptable for everybody. And that's when you have to break through and get that, because there are a few good pieces out there. And sometimes most guys, they all want to keep the same style throughout the box. And it's hard to buy one from one guy and one from another. And or intermingles or interlinks. I also suggest, I didn't want to make it too loud, but, you know, with your lighting technology and the stuff that you have, that's the biggest thing now is lighting these toolboxes up, you know.
Yeah, we actually make one of your, the part number escaping, but your Hutch light, we make that for you.
Okay. Yeah, and that's an awesome light. I can't tell you how many I've retrofitted into the older boxes. You know, again, because of that. And, you know, I've seen guys, they go out and they buy a string of LED lights. And by the time they're done, because of the size and not finding stuff, it looks like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
They got lights hanging all over, or lights not tucked in, or you can't close the drawer because, you know, the light's in the way or the strip or whatever. And that is, you know, that's the next place where it's really going to go. And
what you need is the refrigerator door. You want, when you open it, the light comes on. When you shut it, it goes off, and there's magnets in there. And it's something we're working on for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like I said, I don't want the other side to hear and steal something. But, you know, again, these are things that go through my mind. And like I said, we've talked a few times.
Schumacher had something kind of generic, but they're out of the lighting business. A lot of people get into the lighting business because they think it's easy, but the technology changes so fast, and you actually just can't go buy off a shelf in China. You've got to design, you've got to make it better, and you've got to, once you finish and market the first one, you already got to be started on generation two. It's a job.
Let me ask you guys this, because we're all men of around the same vintage. And I know when I was younger, I never thought about a light for my toolbox. I just went in there and, like, could this be something that's like, you know, for the more vintage style mechanic? Well, Brian, were you younger guys want that too? Let's face it, their eyes are better than ours. That's where I'm going with this. You know,
I got young guys, I got old guys. Unfortunately, sometimes some of these places are a dungeon. I mean, it's dark place inside.
I've seen
And you know, like I said, with the light, it's almost kind of like turning down the car radio to see better when you're lost.
Yeah, so,
they want the light on. You know, I guess they think they're going to see better, but, you know, like I said, even I myself, I you know, playing around with the flashlight all the time, looking at to look. Yeah. And my young guys are the same way. So okay. I think it's all there, right. And it's important.
Okay. Well, and it's like, hey, Ray, come check this out. You pull open your drawer and the whole thing lights up.
That's cool. I mean, no, I'm not saying
whether it's useful or not. It's cool. People buy cool stuff.
I think it would be useful and cool, definitely. I think it would, especially like Brian said, in a darker shop. In the garage, my personal stuff at home, I have a four-bank light right over my toolbox. So, you know, I don't have a problem. But, hey, you can always wear your neck light on your head and you'll be able to see. You know,
that solves it all.
Yeah.
That solves it just about.
You've already solved the problem, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny you should mention a phase two of the light. And I was thinking, like Brian, like it is perfect without the dimming quality when you turn it on would be a nice touch. But also, as you guys are talking, if it had a magnet in the back of it,
okay,
would that happen? So you can take it and stick it up on the hood, like bump.
Oh,
so it would just then hang. Because I was just thinking about this. I hang this because Chrysler has the hook on the bottom on the that latches onto the hood, which latches onto the lock. And of course that's where you hit your head all the time.
Yeah.
So what I do is I hang the light from it and bend the light beams at like a 45 degree angle so it gets a clear shot of the engine.
Okay,
and I'm
wait
thinking,
a minute.
You know, a magnet there. What?
Luke, there's an easy red light that I happen to have. It's a rectangular light. I don't know the model number. And it's got, you know, a couple different power levels, and I think that does have it may have an edge light.
It's an XLF 1000.
It's a bigger, it's a little beefier, but
it's got that magnet and you can swivel stuff around.
Yes, and what I do is I have that light over my toolbox. That's where I stick that light, my Matco light, all the magnetic lights I stick on there, so I know where they, but you can stick them under the hood as well. Brian?
It's an MWL 1500.
Got it.
Yes.
Excellent.
I was not going. I was not going to go there because I wasn't going to give Luke a hard time. But I really want to know, you can let everybody know, when does the aluminum magnet come out so that we can see his life through the aluminum hood?
Brad, I thought you were going to bring that up. I told you that's confidential.
I will tell you something. At the shop, we have a light that everybody uses it. It's everybody's light. And then one day I came in and I was like, you know, I took it and I went to stick it on a car and boom, and it fell. I'm like, oh, wow, clumsy me. So I tried it again. Boom, and it fell. I'm like, what the heck is this car? The car made out of wood? You know, and then I finally looked. I'm like, where's the magnet? And then I guess I'm like, it's under somebody else's car somewhere.
You know? Yeah.
Like, who used the light last? That's the car we got to call the customer.
I had a handful of the lights, you know, the ones that look like the camera with the adjustable. They're great. You know, you can prop them up on the ground. You can look them up. They're great for under the hood when you have a metal hood. And I've happened to walk into the Ford dealership. And, of course, you know, there's all these F-150s, and they're all aluminum. Yeah. And I come in and say, hey, I got a great light, because the guy's got, you know, trying to hold a light in his mouth, and he's got two hands in. And I go to stick this light on. Of course, it's aluminum hood. And it falls off, hits him in the head, rolls around the ground, and he's like, is that what it's supposed to do? And I was like, well, yeah, kind of, but it was stick, but, you know, unfortunately, I should have looked before I leaked.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't say, okay, great. So, you know, when you hear from my lawyer tomorrow, you'll know what you can tell him.
Yeah,
right?
here, have a free light. It's okay. Yeah, no, but that's, unfortunately, that's one of the difficulties that you have, though, because, you know, you have such a good product that way, and then all of a sudden, somebody along the line throws a corkscrew in there and says, right. Oh, now it's aluminum that you use to stick to. Or just, again, you know, I'm always fascinated in a way of, you know, your battery technology to stay up on, you know, charging amperage hours, stuff like this, where, you know, people might not think about this, but this is important that you get. And like you said, the lumens, you know, everybody wants to have the sun. Right. And they wonder why it doesn't last more than an hour and a half.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, they're listening out of is.
That's the problem.
Oh, we had a phone call. Let me see if we still have a phone call, Ryan. Call, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Are you there?
Hey, Ray, it's Billy G.
Billy, what's happening?
Hey, Brian, how's everybody?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, Billy.
Good. So, can I digress a little bit with getting back to the basic toolbox?
Sure.
You know, I'm still working off my 1969 Sears Craftsman, you know, 69, you know, 118 piece for $18.69. I think I paid for it.
Right.
So
Billy. I got one too.
Okay. The question for Brian: if I wanted to purge all my stuff and start fresh, does Matco make the basic kit, the basic toolbox for, you know, the shade tree guy like me?
Wow.
We used to have a kit where you could get it all, but it's basically kind of a la carte. We do have a few starter sets.
Right.
You know, that type of thing where, you know, you can start out. But as the only way that we ever or still have would be through the school program Young Techs. And usually that starts out with a bigger size cart and, you know, a handful of tools. But again, like I said, it's, you know, when you're whatever you're looking for or want to toss around, you can always get in touch with me and we can talk those things out.
Yeah. Billy, that's what was great about it. We used to go down to the Sears store in town and, you know, they had them on the wall and you always went to that giant mega 1,000-piece kit. We all looked at it like, wow, someday I'm going to get that toolkit.
Yeah. I know, because, you know, and the other thing is my question would be, you know, you're talking about all the lights and everything. I could see all that. So, you know what would be the ultimate toolbox? Remember when you're growing up and you had a problem with the TV and the guy came with the tubes and he had the box that opened up and it'd like be like a work table and you had the mirror to watch we put the tubes and you could see the picture. So those tools, I guess the new modern toolbox to put these lights in and everything you're talking about, I guess if you can get away from the basic with the old basic design, which was like, you know, a rectangular box with a handle on top, do they have those? You know, you guys in Matco, are you on ahead of the times with that and making that type of stuff?
Well, it's like a tote box.
We don't. Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, a regular tote box or a smaller toolbox, and of course those aren't, but our basic toolbox line, you know, we do have a power drawer and power on the outside of the box and USB ports, and we do have accessories that plug in and for that on the bigger boxes. But, you know, like I said, we still make an old school regular tote box type thing, along with our carts. You can add power to them, but they do come without. So,
you know what I've seen in the shops too is a lot of guys have gone to bags for transport, and the Milwaukee Packout system. Guys love that. You know,
popular.
Maybe not as popular in a mechanic shop, but yeah, certainly there's overlap. But Bill, yeah, all I can say, Bill, I know where you're coming from. You need to look around. The times have definitely changed from what you're accustomed to. I will say that.
Yeah, because, you know, we're all guys that are driving. We have the vintage cars, and you want to be able to grab that one box when you're taking a ride and say, you know, God forbid, it's got the electrical cable, it's got the clamps, it's got, and you just grab that box and throw it in the trunk and say, that's the one I'm going, you know?
Yeah, I have one of those.
First aid kit.
I have one of those. It's plastic, and I have it bungee corded to the spare tire. So, you know, it's got fuses and relays and, you know. But the biggest, there you go. Oh, that's cool, Brian. That's nice. Brian has a little baby toolbox. The best tool you have is your phone, because that's got all, you know, you can call Haggerty or whoever you're towing, and it's Matco branded. That's very cool, Brian. Put your jewelry in there.
Yeah, But Brian, I just want you to know I'm a big fan of yours. I watch you guys on Thursday night. I'm the guy in the clouds whispering in Ray's ear about this and that. And
he ghosts us.
I was the Dale Poldy guy. You know, I remember that car in the Pontiac. You ran the Pontiac hard. You know, against Kenny Bernstein, et cetera.
And Bill, I got to tell you something. Next week, you're going to want to tune in because we have Marty Shore on with us.
Yes. Yeah.
And Marty's going to be talking about Ed Kolb? I forget what was his first name. An old Ford race. Do you have Marty's book, Ford Total Performance, Bill?
No, but you know, now that I treated myself to, you know, that gift that they, now that I'm a Shelby guy, I got to get the Ford book.
Yes, definitely worth having. So you want to tune in next week. I know that you, you're definitely going to, I was going to get in touch with you. That's something that you want to,
In fact, I had a call in tomorrow. I spoke to Marty like a week and a half ago. He's fine. He sounds great.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to hold you guys up. Brian, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Merry Christmas, all right?
Merry Christmas, Bill. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Billy.
All right.
Hey, before we get too sidetracked and he brought up racing, Luke, I saw that you guys had sponsored a truck in NASCAR.
We did. 2 years ago we did, yep. We tried it out.
Got expensive, but, you know.
It was right at that point. It was right at that point where it was worth the risk. And we took the risk to try it out. It got us good PR. It was good to see that industry because it's a big industry.
It's a huge industry.
Yeah, it's gigantic. But, you know, we took a back seat after that. It was good, but it wasn't great.
Yeah. As a NASCAR fan and motorsport, you know, of course, we got extremely lucky. You know, we have Antron. He's been excellent with us as for distributors and good for the company. And he's a great guy and a good racer. And I know that's one of those building blocks. Do you see that in the future getting back into motorsports, or is it
that was to try it out, see what happened, and it worked. It got good PR. We got good social from it. And, you know, obviously it's still, you know, you remembered it. People remember it. But it's something we would never pass up an opportunity. We're going to look at it and evaluate it like anything, you know?
You don't need to, Brian. We need to get Chassis John back on the track and you get him. He won't come cheap. I know that. But, you know, you'll get what you pay for. You get a great showman over there.
Well, you know, like I said, again, with that, you know, as a guy that loves diecast and racers, you know, I had to start looking to see if there's one of those easy red trucks floating around.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother avenue. And of course, that gets into, it depends on how far you threw out. I don't know how many races. Was that just for Martins? Or was that
We did two races, Martinsville and I forget the other one, Poconos maybe?
Poconos, I think it was.
Yeah.
I remember I Oh, I watch it. So I just remember seeing it on the track. And like you said, I didn't even realize it had been 2 years. I mean, it's still there. I mean, like I said, it's a, you know, it's a good adventure. I was just curious if you were, leading into that more. I know, of course, with the world that we're in and what happened right after that, you know, it kind of sets us all back a little bit.
You know, Brian, let me tell you something. This, to lead in, this is, this isn't Thursday night, so we can't go on for 4 hours. We're coming to the end of this show.
I'm sorry.
So, Brian, please give everybody information how they may find you or communicate with you in any way, you know, any of your social media platforms.
I'm on Instagram at HeyMacoMan, and my Facebook page is also HeyMacoMan.
And, of course,
contact me.
I was going to, of course, people contact me and say, hey, can you get me? Can you talk to this? Yeah. We'll take care of it. And
handle to remember. Hey, Macko Man.
Right.
It's an easy handle. And basically, everything I have is that my YouTube channel is also Hey, Macko Man.
Right.
You know, like I said, I really appreciate it. Luke, it's great talking to you. I can't wait. And can't wait to see some more product and sell some more.
Yeah, you'll be getting some pretty quick. And we'll have to get together before Las Vegas and figure out when and where and what. So we'll stay.
That'd be awesome,
Luke.
I will,
Luke. Now it's your turn. Please throw out your social media contact, any contact information you want, how people can find you or your company.
So yeah, we're on social. I mean, the website's www.easyred.com. And all of our handles are at Easy Red.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that's
Instagram,
easy.
Instagram, Facebook, mainly the two.
Right.
You know, and you can get on a Matco truck and find most everything we make.
Yeah.
If you don't have a dual truck that's accessible, you can go to our Amazon site. You know, everything's there. And we control that Amazon site, so the prices aren't bottom dollar there. We've kicked third-party sellers from selling there. So.
Nice. Nice.
It's nice. It's affordable and it's fair.
And like Luke said, you know, Chris and I were talking about this before the show. Brian, I think you'd agree that most people can walk up, can go come into a tool truck if that's, you know, they don't have a dealer. Most guys will accommodate them. Not all, you know, it's a choice of the actual dealer because you are entering his store, you know, his world. But it is possible. You get walk-ins all the time, I think, right? I think they want you to make them tacos, and they want some of that brisket that you slow cook in the back of the Matco truck. But they walk up with their own Kaiser rolls. Like, fill this, please.
The Matco burger.
Yeah, there you go.
Matco burger.
Nice. Matco meat. All right, fellas. Well, we thank you for coming on with us. We are going to be closing the show here. Kim is coming in to do Thunder Road. So, of course, we have to eject. And unlike Thursday, we don't get to stay on and talk. So, Luke, you should come on with us on a Thursday night on Plane in Traffic.
I'd have fun, man. It'd be great.
What I will do is, I don't schedule, but I'll send your information to Lewis Lee, and I'll have him contact you. And then...
Okay.
And then we'll see. I know he has a couple of guests for this week, so we'll see. We'll get you in rotation, and we can just. Chris, you should come on with us too that night. We just hang. I mean, we're on till the wee hours in them. When I take the garbage out afterwards, the raccoons will look at me like, "What are you doing out here?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just came out of the basement."
I usually catch the show on Facebook Live, and I always enjoy it. It's always a good show.
We have fun.
Awesome, guys. Have a happy holidays, man, everybody. Good to
All
see
right.
you.
Guys, thank
Same
you.
Here.
Talking with you.
And we will see you again soon. Chris, what do you say that John says that now Brian's going to start saying, because he's going to make us a promo like John one of these days. We're going to play that before we leave.
Don't follow us home, but always wear your Easy Red light, that's for sure.
Here's the original, folks. All right, so we'll see you next week with Marty Shore and... Thanks for coming on, guys. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
Bye.